Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, let's get small.
Again? Getting small? Hey, honey, I shrunk the radio. It's Dale Kay from Spook Show. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I am being accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And actually, you know, I was always short. I'm a little under average height now, as we begin our shrinking stage there, Dale. Yeah. But like when I was in high school,
too.
I graduated. I was only 5'1". And really? When I was first started in Boy Scouts in Buffalo, they gave me a nickname of 0.5 because I was only half the size of any of the other scouts.
Wow. 0.5. He's 0.5. Oh, man, you're a giant over here, Dave. You are an absolute giant with the old-time radio, and we're going back to the Silver Age tonight.
Silver Age tonight, absolutely. With a guy like you had High Brown over there at the Mystery Theater, Elliot Lewis was no less a part of the Golden Age radio, almost more so in some ways, that High Brown was a creator and producer and director. Well, Elliot was not only a writer, producer, director, creator, but he was also an actor. That's who we have tonight is Elliot with the Sears Radio Theater. He also did when it went to Mutual, he stayed on with that to the Mutual Radio Theater run. And he also, before that, was the person in charge of bringing Rod Serling to radio with the Zero Hour. So, and before that, I mean, especially mid-50s, he created a lot of programs. But for a while, for about 4 or 5 years, he was also the producer of Suspense and was one of the two characters, one of many characters all over the place, working from everyone from Arch Obler to everybody that was anybody in radio back then.
Yeah. Didn't Elliot Lewis's wife, Porch, work with him as well and even appeared with some radio programs? Am I thinking correctly?
She did. Kathy Lewis, and she was with him the entire time he did that. And although she was with Suspense before and even a little bit after, I believe. But, and when they got married, she didn't have to change her name because that was her name. So
whoa.
She went from Kathy Lewis to Kathy Lewis. And,
uh-oh. What kind of hillbilly stuff we got going on here?
No, not related, at least that they knew of. And until they were married by, related by marriage. But, of course, she was busy doing also My Friend Irma on the radio. On television, she played Molly McGee in the television version of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hmm.
She wasn't too bad, but the guy that played Fibber McGee was just not the way I envisioned Fibber McGee. So,
yeah, well, you know, we're kind of prejudiced by the radio shows, the original radio programs.
We are.
Sometimes it's hard to take a replacement.
Yep. Now, you know, trying to think of some of those. The Great Gildersleeve was a show that moved over from radio to television. Moderate success at best. Of course, if Hal Perry would have still been there instead of Willard Waterman, might have been a different case. Because in the 1950s, Gildersleeve kind of turned from a situation comedy almost into a soap opera type thing. It was still half an hour, and there are a few jokes here and there, but it was more drama of things that kept continuing on. Life with Luigi would have been better had they kept Alan Reed and
J. Carroll Nash.
If they would kept those two there, but they didn't. And that would have been better and received better. That didn't last. I don't know if it, maybe they gave it a courtesy of a full season, but that was it. Then you had Amos and Andy for 2 years. And that, although they were not the characters, they did a great job of bringing Amos and Andy, and it was Freeman Gaja and Charles Carell that brought it, and brought the first all African-American cast to television. It was actually the NCAAP that got it thrown off the air through complaints about, I always thought Amos and Andy, they were independent business people who were just trying to make it with what they could, you know, the Fresh Air Taxi Cab Company, the only thing that they did. But
I think people got upset by the stereotypes.
Now, I guess I can see that. But when you do that and, like, they handcuffed Mantan Moreland because of how he portrayed things, and yet he was a great comedian.
He was a brilliant comic. Oh,
brilliant.
Yep. I remember seeing him a lot of places, not just the zombie movie, King of the Zombies. He was great in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did a lot of movies. Had a few with Frankie Darrow, and he did at least half a dozen of the Charlie Chan movies, and all over the place.
Yep, and Tan Moreland, quite the comic, was considered to be a fourth stooge at one time, or a third stooge, I should say. I believe when Shemp also passed on, and I don't think Columbia was having that.
They were not. It was Mo that kind of suggested that. I thought he would have been a great stooge. You think about
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And then because of his portrayals in the movies, he got blacklisted for quite a few years. Nobody would hire him for anything. And it
That's
wasn't until not long before he passed, he got back into some things, you know?
Yeah, he got to do Spider Baby.
Well, but he was making appearances on other shows, on TV shows at that point, when they finally let him back in.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes by trying to help people, you're not helping. When I think of circus people.
Yeah.
You know, all the political correctness put them all right out of a job.
Yeah. It's interesting they're coming back, but without the wild animals. I don't know. There are more things to a circus than the wild animals, but the wild animals are always a big part of it.
Yeah, they always were historically. But, times change, and so do radio, but not here on Erie House. We're going back in time. A little segue there.
Good segue.
You're getting us over to Sears Radio Theater with an interesting title, a little misleading. It's called And Then There Were None, not to be confused with the Agatha Christie story.
Absolutely not. It's a fun little, I guess you could call it science fiction story to a degree, but then about shrinking people and stuff outside of the Arch Obler tale yesterday, isn't all that kind of thing really about science in a way, or science fiction?
Well, so far, I mean, I could see a story being written that had a supernatural edge to it, but we haven't seen that here yet on Erie House this weekend. We'll see what happens.
I keep finding more interesting programs and more interesting shows. Coming up in January, I found a program called Seventh Dimension, and I sampled one of those programs before, and it was just... A lot of them are 1 hour. I picked one that was half an hour the other night and listened to it. I said, oh, my goodness, I have to build a weekend around this. So I did.
Very good. That'll be coming up next year, gang.
Tales coming up there in January. Starting off new year with Seventh Dimension.
We'll have to dive into that dimension. But we should probably get started here with part one of Sears Radio Theater. This one's got Richard Widmark, right?
This is Richard Widmark. This is very early. This is the second week, I would say, or third week of the existence of the Sears Radio Theater.
Hmm. And this one was original.
Go ahead.
Oh, originally broadcast.
Episode number 15 comes to us from February 23rd of 1970.
Hey, Fogs Baining.
Good old Bob.
I'm Charles Scott King, WNEW News. At 9 minutes past ten, time for the Sears Theater.
That's the theme from the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight is a story of adventure with Richard Widmark as your host.
What's that?
Take your seats.
What is it?
I don't know, but fasten your seatbelts. The ship is quivering. It may be an earthquake.
If this ship falls over on its side, we've had it.
Hey, rain!
The sky was clear as we came through.
Well, you can see for yourself. It's still clear above the trees.
What kind of weather do they have here?
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
Yeah, that was about 2 weeks after Dad had his stroke.
Did he have high blood pressure?
Don't know. He's doing a little better now, but he can't speak too well.
Has trouble walking too, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's truly a shame.
You have high blood pressure?
I don't know. I feel okay. I'm not high strung like Dad.
Whether you're high strung or low strung, whether you feel just fine or not, has nothing to do with high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a major risk factor in stroke and heart attack, but it has no obvious symptoms. It can only be detected by a simple, quick, and painless test. The American Heart Association also wants you to know that black Americans, as a group, are more likely to have high blood pressure than whites. We don't know why. But high blood pressure can usually be controlled if it's detected. For more information, contact your American Heart Association. We're fighting for your life.
This is Richard Widmark. Do you hear that? It's silence. We're in deep, dark space, and we hear nothing but silence. But there's a spaceship silently coming toward us. We can make out the name on its bow, the Omega. And there's a man looking out a forward port. He's in a vehicle that is moving almost with the speed of light. Yet he's as comfortable as if he were in an easy chair at home chatting with friends.
I thought we were supposed to be the first ones up here.
We are, Sloan.
Then what's all this junk mean?
He's right, Austin. There's a lot of space junk outside.
Let me see, Stuart. Maybe it's from something we launched earlier, Sloan.
Maybe, Ruth.
No. No, we haven't sent a ship this far into space before.
Somebody sure has, Austin. Look at all the junk.
Maybe it came from that planet ahead.
That planet's dead as it can be, Commander. No atmosphere around it. No nothing.
We haven't seen the other side of it yet, Sloan.
But it doesn't rotate, Austin. It'll be as dead on the other side as it is on this.
Oh, speaking of dead, I'd better water the algae so we can keep breathing.
I'll help, Barney.
Stuart, try to reach headquarters by radio again.
We'll go, Commander. Omega calling Space Agency. Come in, please. Omega calling Space Agency. Come in. Afraid it's the same story, Commander. It still doesn't work.
Stu and I have even been outside, Commander. We've gone over the transmitting system with a fine-tooth comb.
The agency isn't getting through to us, Austin.
But maybe we're getting through to them. Send in hourly reports anyway, Stuart.
Wilco, Commander.
A spaceship with a crew of five, including two women. A radio that doesn't work. Space junk that nobody can account for. Oxygen supplied by algae. A dead planet that doesn't revolve and has no air around it. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Sears Radio Theater. A new adventure in radio listening. Brought to you five nights a week by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops. Your hosts,
Lorne Greene. I'll bring you stories of the Old West and the New.
Andy Griffith with a look at the funny side of life.
Vincent Price with tales of mystery and suspense.
Cicely Tyson with stories about love, hate,
and related things.
Richard Widmark. I'll bring you stories of pure adventure.
5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, Then There Were None, by Ted Sherdeman. Our star, Keith Andes.
Dear, today I found the bedroom suite of my dreams at a great price.
That's a coincidence. I found one that has all the features.
Well, mine has authentic country styling.
So does mine.
Does yours have a beautiful 26-step finish?
Nothing but, and I get a choice of 13 different pieces.
All built to last for a long time?
Yes, with sturdy tongue and groove construction and dovetail jointed drawers.
Is yours
Sears Open Hearth bedroom furniture? Sears Open Hearth Bedroom Collection. Expert craftsmanship at a reasonable price. Select from 13 different pieces. Now at most Sears retail stores.
Darling, I'm a mattress who knows what to wear. Solid color percale sheets from Sears Medley Collection, of course. This gorgeous sheet I'm wearing speaks for itself. The color is called Indian Sand. Isn't that stunning? I wear sheets of royal blue, lemon yellow. Sears has a dazzling selection of up to 24 colors. And the fit? Well, just look. I can't understand why mattresses wear anything but these smooth permapress sheets. Honestly, darling, I wouldn't wear anything else. Sizes from twin to king in most Sears retail stores and in the catalog.
Sears Budget Shop has a vested interest in value.
Vested dresses and vested skirt and pant sets in sizes 8 to 18. Styled just right for spring.
They're romantic flounce dresses topped by vests. Tunic pantsuits coupled with vests. Also the tunic and skirt smartly finished with a vest. The vest, the season's fashion basic.
Lots of exciting print and solid color combinations. So you can be choosy.
Invest in fashion.
Invest in value.
Vested dresses and vested skirt and pant sets in the Budget Shop at most larger Sears retail stores.
I can't believe they can do it for $19.99.
Installed?
The aluminized Sears muzzler is only $19.99 installed. And listen to the muzzler promise.
Sears promises that the muzzler will last as long as you own your American-made car.
Or return it for refund or replacement free.
And if Sears installed it, they'll install the new one free.
Well, you can't beat that.
I think it's fantastic.
Great promise.
The muzzler, just $19.99 installed. Clamps if needed, 99 cents each extra. Sizes to fit most American-made cars. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii at most Sears Tire and Auto Centers.
The spaceship Omega speeds silently through the stillness of space. Its commander, Austin Baker, peers out a port at the dead, dark planet they're approaching. His attention is taken by Ruth Beatty as she offers him a pill.
Time for dinner, Commander. Here you go.
I keep thinking this is an aspirin tablet.
I can't get used to just taking a pill instead of having a meal.
Yeah, me either, Sloan. But I must say, pills take up a lot less space aboard this craft.
Takes up a lot less space in your stomach, too.
I'm with Sloan Overton. I'll never get used to them.
Yeah, they're convenient. Oh, may I have some water, please, Ruth?
Oh, sure. Here.
Me, too.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome. These meal pills rob you of all the things you associated with eating.
Like what? Conversation? I never conversed anyway. Usually read the paper, the ads in a cereal box, or watched TV.
Oh, you must have been a scintillating dinner companion.
You don't get command of a spaceship like the Omega by being a scintillating dinner companion.
Maybe not, Sloan, but the thing that really worries me about these pills is, where do I get the bulk? The fiber I'm supposed to have.
It's in the pills.
This little thing? Not a chance.
Hey, Commander.
Yes, Stuart.
To the left of the planet.
The entire left side is bathed in light.
We'll be at the lighted edge in a moment. Want me to circle around it?
Yes. You and Bonnie keep an eye out for launching sites. And Ruth, prepare to make photographs.
We'll call Commander.
I'll slow the craft down and pass around the lighted edge. Same altitude, Commander?
I think so, Stuart.
I see the source of the light, Commander.
So do I, Stuart. It's that star.
It looks dead down there, sir.
Yeah, so it seems, Sloan. Well, what's that planet nearby?
Well, it doesn't show on any of our charts, sir. For that matter, neither did this dead one.
Well, that near planet must have atmosphere around it, Austin.
It appears so, Stuart. And it rotates. That star must be its sun.
Bonnie and I have seen no launching sites that could even come close to putting out all that space junk.
We've seen no launching sites, period. The planet below us is dead.
Let's have a closer look at that nearby planet.
Hey,
of cloud cover, Austin.
Yes, Ruth. But through it, you can see land masses and long stretches of what appear to be seas or water of some kind.
And both ends of that planet appear to be covered with snow and ice.
Like our polar caps, Sloan.
Those are seas, Commander.
Yeah, appear to be.
It's very blue, isn't it?
One of the signs of a breathable atmosphere.
Oh, by the way, the algae beds are doing beautifully, Commander.
Since they provide the oxygen we breathe, Bonnie, let's be grateful.
Oh, I am. I even made some soup out of some of it.
At my urging, Austin.
I can't stand those pills either, Commander.
And they're more nourishing than algae soup.
And don't taste as bad.
How do you know, Sloan? It hasn't finished cooking yet.
At least Ruth will get her bulk.
You know, right now, get to your cameras. I want a full record of this planet we're approaching.
Wilco, Commander.
Wilco.
I'll take over the controls now, Stuart.
Right, sir.
We'd better slow our descent. Give me some forward jets.
Wilco, Commander.
We're slowing, but not enough. More, Stuart. That's strange.
We're at 100 kilometers now, Commander.
I'm trying to hold of that saloon.
95, 94, 93.
More forward jet power, Stuart. Losing, Sloan.
88, 87.
We're caught in that planet's gravity field.
83, 82, 81, 80.
I'll try full power, sir.
Go ahead, Stuart. What are the readings, Sloan?
75, 74, 73.
Kill the jets. Switch to atomic power, Stuart. I'll try to turn the ship.
65, 64, 63.
The atomic power is useless.
What can we do, sir?
The only thing we can, land. Use the power to land tail first. Now, if I can turn this thing.
57, 56, 55.
There's a city below. See it, Bonnie? I can see vehicles, Ruth. They're on what looks like our freeways at home. They sure do.
Call off the altitude, Sloan.
1 kilometer.
In meters, Sloan.
600 meters. 500 meters.
We're touching down in a forest of some kind.
Let me know when we have ground contact.
200 meters.
We must be getting close. The trees are towering over us.
100 meters.
Get ready.
Ground contact.
Close jets. Still in one piece.
We're in a forest. I've never seen anything like it.
It towers way above us, and it's so green.
Take air samples, Stuart.
We'll call, Commander.
How come you landed here, Austin?
I didn't have any choice, Ruth.
We weren't supposed to land on any planet. Just observe.
I know.
We got caught in this planet's gravity field. That's what the Commander meant by saying he had no choice but to land. And thanks to your skill, Commander, we were able to do it.
Well, one thing I can say for it, you certainly picked a remote spot. I don't think anyone saw us land.
I hope not, Bonnie.
Ruth and I saw a city on our way down. We made photos of it.
I'll give Stuart a hand, Commander.
These trees, they're like our grass, but so much bigger. Do you suppose they give off oxygen?
Can I give you a hand, Stuart?
Oh, I'm just drawing some of the air into this test flask from the outside. Now, to test it. Write down what I find, Sloan.
Fine.
Nitrogen, 78.9.
Uh-huh.
Oxygen, 20.95.
Hey, that's good.
So far. Argon, 0.93. Carbon dioxide, 0.03.
Very good.
Water vapor, about 2%. Maybe a little less.
Oh, not very humid then, huh?
No. There's some dirty stuff mixed up in it. Minute particles of suspended... carbon and sulfur.
What we call smog back home.
Well, buddy, they've got it here, too. But the air is breathable. Well,
Commander Austin Baker will be glad to hear that.
Can't think of anybody who won't be.
I can't tell whether there's bark on these trees or not. We're up too high in the spaceship to see. Stuart, what did you find?
The air is very breathable, Commander.
We won't need helmets or oxygen units to support us if we go outside.
No life support systems required.
None.
What's that?
Take your seats.
What is it?
I don't know, but fasten your seatbelts. The ship is quivering. It may be an earthquake.
If this ship falls over on its side, we've had it.
rain.
The sky was clear as we came through.
Well, you can see for yourself. It's still clear above the trees.
What kind of weather do they have here?
It's ended.
Stay in your seat, Ruth. You too, Bonnie. All of you. Weird.
The ship has stopped shaking.
Yeah, I know, Sloan. What do you make of it, Stuart?
I don't know. The way that water started coming down, I thought we were in for a big one.
I know.
Shortest rainstorm I ever experienced.
Me too.
I guess it's safe enough now to unbuckle the seatbelts and leave the chair.
Yeah.
You want Sloan and me to look around outside, Commander?
Yeah, we'll have to, sooner or later.
The sooner the better, Austin.
Take a life support system with you just in case.
It's not necessary, Commander.
Arms, yes, but we can do without the life support system.
All right. But check the breathability of the atmosphere before you venture too far away.
We will, Commander. Come on, Sloan.
And keep in touch with us by radio and pick vision.
We'll go, Commander. They're coming, Stuart.
We'd better stop at the armory first.
Right.
Laser pistols. 3 grenades apiece.
Well, that should do it. And I'll take an atomic rifle just in case.
Okay, Sloan, that does it. The personal radio's working?
Well, we'll soon find out. Sloan to Commander Baker. Do you read me?
Read you fine, Sloan. And the pick vision is good.
Stuart and I are going out now.
Right. Now keep in touch at all times and turn back if you're attacked. We want the inhabitants to know we're friendly.
Right. We won't use weapons unless necessary.
Use weapons only to protect your own lives.
Wilco, Commander. Out. Well, Stuart, let's go.
Air is as breathable as we said it was.
Right. We'll make a circuit of the ship, then head due north.
Right. Let's go.
From Sears, passion that fends off the storm. Salutes the sunshine. Step out, military flair. These double-breasted trench coats get down to details. Choose olive green or khaki tan Dacron polyester and cotton, sizes 8 to 18. Another fashion winner, the new quilt trim sheared shoulder coat with self-belt. In chino beige polyester and cotton, sizes 6 to 16. Both coats come with a nylon lining. Fashion that stands out the storm. Salutes the sunshine. In the coat department at most larger Sears retail stores.
Damn you, Sears. Couldn't you stuck around for just one more blue light special?
Hmm? Oh, that was Kmart that had the blue light special.
Ah, that's true. Ah, that's right. You know, another defunct retailer.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, when you listen to these commercials, Sears had such reasonable prices. They installed your muffler, a lifetime muffler, if as long as you own that car, for $19.95.
Lifetime for tools. Hand tools were for lifetime
for tools for a Craftsman tool, and the diehard battery. You know, that wasn't lifetime, but you know, they had some really good products. And towards the end, they just thought they were so good that they raised all their prices on stuff. And I don't know. One by one, they sold off the diehard. Then they sold off the, you know, and they started National Tire and Battery. That's still out there today. It was Sears that started that.
And, yeah, they were NTB. Yeah.
So it just, it's so weird that when we were in high school, Dale, Sears was the number one retailer in the world.
Yeah.
It's been gone for 4 years now.
That giant tower, they're one of the greatest buildings in the world.
Yep, in Chicago, there's a Sears Tower.
Yeah.
Almost went up it. I guess it was a foggy day up top, and they didn't let us in. My brother and I were there, and they said there was an amusement tax of $15. I said, if I'm not amused, do I get my money back? She didn't think it was very funny, but
it's damn funny. People have no sense of humor.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
Dave, you're awesome.
My mouth has got me into more trouble.
Oh, I can tell you I've gotten... Oh, yeah. You and I share that. Yeah. More times than I care to remember.
Yeah. But we got an interesting story going on here.
We do. From Sears Radio Theater. Let's pick it up with part two of And Then There Were None. Not even
okay.
Any. Yeah. Yeah.
Light it, clean it, and love it during Sears Home Center Sale.
With lighting buys that shine. Save $10 on four chandeliers with colonial, transitional, or country moods. Your choice, $29.99 each.
And save over 20% on a 15-pound box of Sears laundry detergent. It removes more soil than the nation's leading detergent.
So light it, clean it, and love it during Sears Home Center Sale till February 24th at most Sears retail stores. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Can't believe you owe the IRS that much? Well, when things just don't add up, you can count on a Sears desk calculator to help you add up what you don't owe. Add, subtract, multiply, and divide, then read the figures two different ways. 12-digit display or tape printout. There's a two-memory system that helps ease multi-step problems. Plus, its many extras make it a great time saver. Sears two-memory desk calculator now cut $25, just $99.99 through March 10th at most Sears retail stores. Prices and dates may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, here I go again. It's time to rent one of those steam-type carpet cleaners.
Why rent? Now Sears puts power in a carpet cleaner you can own yourself. The Power Spray from Sears for easy home carpet cleaning. Power Spray sprays hot water into your carpet, then sucks up the dirty water.
You can see the dirt you get out, dirt you didn't even know was there.
The Power Spray Carpet Cleaner, a convenient carpet cleaner you can own yourself. Available at most Sears retail stores. Kenmore. Solid as Sears.
The spaceship Omega rests tail down in a forest of green fronds. The air is breathable on this strange planet, however, and Sloan Overton and Stuart McGill are on an exploratory trip. They're armed with laser pistols, grenades, and an atomic rifle as they make their way through the jungle of towering green trees. They are watched and listened to on a PIC vision tube in the control room of the spaceship by Commander Austin Baker and the two women, Ruth Beatty and Bonnie Clare.
Well, we should have brought machetes to hack our way through this stuff.
Take more than a machete to cut through these trees. Chainsaws would be more like it.
There's no bark on these trees. They've no trunks at all. They're green all the way to the ground. Yeah. What's this?
A steel wall?
Oh, it's a metal of some kind. Help me scale it.
Can you reach the top?
Okay. It's kind of flanged up here and almost a meter in width and... Hey.
What do you see, Sloan?
Well, it ends right down there or begins. It begins there and there's another wall across from this one. It's identical and... Hey, wait a minute. There are divisions here of wood or something that looks like wood, and... Do you suppose this is a railroad track?
I'll go to the end and try to get up there with you.
Commander Baker, do you read me?
Loud and clear, Sloan.
Is the picture clear, too?
Very clear. And the girls, I agree with you. It is a railroad track.
Yes, I agree.
For extremely large people, no doubt.
No doubt.
Stuart's coming to the picture now.
I see you made it all right.
So that end down there, it has no bumpers. But you're right, Sloan. This must be a railroad track. And these are ties.
Follow it.
Wilco, Commander. Come on, Stuart.
There are signs of rust. Maybe this was abandoned. Oh,
why was it ever put down in this jungle of green trees to begin with?
I don't know. But it was constructed by a race of giants, that's for sure.
Well, let's hope we don't run into any.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine how large their trains must be if this is just the track?
No, and I don't want to.
How far apart would you say the rails are?
Oh, 10 meters.
About. We should have brought a tape so we could get accurate measures.
Do I see the end of this track?
Well, you sure do.
We see the end of it, too.
What do you make of it, Commander?
I don't know. That track begins nowhere and comes to an end nowhere. Doesn't make sense.
Whoever put it down must have had a change of mind.
Well, at least they didn't skimp on it. It's beautifully built. Even at this end, as well built as the other.
I'll help you down, Sloan.
No sweat. A slight jump ought to do it. Okay. Come ahead, Stuart.
Sloan, Stuart, I think you'd better come back to the Omega now.
Whatever you say, Commander.
Wilco, Commander. If we keep that wall... Oh, I keep calling it that. That rail to our right. We'll wind up at the spaceship.
Right. Let's go.
Commander, I made a map of this area, what we've seen thus far.
Good, Ruth.
I don't know what good that'll do.
Well, Bonnie, it at least can go in the log to show what we saw right after we landed.
Well, it's all I did it for. Oh, well, there it is again.
Fasten yourselves in your seats, girls. Sloan, Stuart, take whatever cover you can.
Another quake. It's a clear sky above the trees. Maybe we don't get... I was wrong. We get rain again.
That was shorter than the other one.
It's real strange. I can't explain it. This ship began to sway like crazy.
If it goes over on its side, we've had it.
I know, Stuart.
The ship is steady now.
Yes. Take off the seatbelts. Uh-oh, strap them back on. Here we go again.
This swaying is making me sick to my stomach.
Well, if we fall over, you won't have that to complain about anymore. Well, we've lost the picture. Can you hear me? Stuart, Sloan, come in, please.
Commander Baker, come in, please. Our radio's out, Stuart.
Probably this downpour. I don't understand.
Well, the sky's clear as a bell above the treetops. There's not a cloud in sight.
I'm drenched.
Well, there's no shelter around, that's for sure.
I don't understand it. What's going on? These earthquakes followed by short torrential rains.
Oh, buddy, don't look at me for an explanation. I think we better get back to the spaceship.
We turn south at the end of this wall, or track.
Commander Baker, do you read me?
The ship can't hear us. That means the pick vision is gone, too. Oh,
meaning the commander can't see or hear us.
That's right.
Wait a minute. What's that?
Where?
I thought I saw something moving off to the left.
I don't see anything, Sloan.
I don't either right now.
Come on. Let's keep going back to the Omega.
I can see the end of the wall ahead, Stuart.
The track, Sloan. I see it, too. We turn south there.
Do you see what I see?
Where? Oh, my God.
Stuart, I don't know what it is.
It looks like a giant dinosaur of some kind.
We'll take cover. I'll use the atomic rifle on it.
It's a lizard or a reptile of some sort.
It's gigantic, but nothing can survive this atomic rifle.
Hit it, Sloan.
It's not going down. Another hit, but it's coming this way. Use your grenades and your laser pistol.
The atomic hits have only angered it.
Can you see through the smoke?
It's still coming toward us, Sloan. Maybe a blast from this laser pistol. Sloan, run for it. The beast is still coming.
Just a few more grenades. Stuart, where are you?
Over here, behind this tree.
I can't see you.
I'm right here, Sloan. Oh, my God!
Can you hear me, Sloan? Stuart?
I've checked the circuits, Commander. I can find nothing wrong.
We still have no sound or pick vision, Ruth.
How long has it been, though?
Exactly 3.5 minutes, Blunny. They should have been back by now.
Want me to check the entrance hatch?
No, Ruth. Hey, here's our trouble, I think. Fuse blown.
Oh, I'll get an extra, Commander. Right away.
Wonder what happened.
The quakes?
Well, maybe. But it's the first time.
Here's a new fuse, Commander.
Ah, thanks, Bunny. Now to try it.
Sloan, Stewart, do you read me?
Hey, we're getting a picture again.
I hear you, Commander. Am I coming in?
We hear you fine now, and we've got a picture, too.
Sloan's gone.
Gone?
Sloan?
What happened, Stewart?
I don't know what it was. A dinosaur, a lizard, reptile, whatever. It was gigantic. We hit it with everything we had. The atomic rifle, laser pistols, grenades. All they did was anger the beast.
It got Sloan?
It had this long tongue, and it swallowed him whole.
Oh, how horrible.
Oh, it makes me sick.
We see you clearly, Stewart, where you are and all. Walk straight ahead, and you'll be in the Omega within minutes.
I can't see the spaceship from here.
But we can see you. Keep walking.
I can't stop thinking about Sloan.
Keep walking.
I am. I can't see the spaceship.
Well, it's probably hidden by the trees. Come straight ahead.
The atomic rifle, the grenades, the laser pistols, they only infuriated the monster.
Keep walking, man.
He's in a daze.
The atomic rifle is supposed to destroy anything.
He said it was a dinosaur.
Or lizard.
Or a reptile.
Whatever, it must have been gigantic to withstand a hit from an atomic rifle.
What's he walking into?
Stewart, what is that?
I don't know. It's sticky. I walked right into it before I ever saw it.
Stewart, look out.
What is it? It has six legs. Shiny black.
Look on its stomach. An hourglass of red.
I can't get loose from this stuff.
Use your last grenade and the laser pistol to defend yourself.
Oh, it's like a huge giant spider.
Yes.
I can't get loose.
Stewart, I've got to help him.
It's too late, Commander.
The spider has stung him.
Stewart! Stewart, can you hear me?
He's dead.
Oh, no, the spider...
Oh. I can't watch.
He's gone. Stuart's gone.
Oh, what kind of planet have we landed on?
I don't know.
Giants. All carnivorous giants. First Sloan, now Stewart.
There are only three of us left.
That's right. You, Ruth, and me.
How do we get out of here?
That's a good question, Bonnie. I don't know. Gravity forced us to land here, and gravity may keep us here.
Oh, these giant creatures, they're impervious to our weapons. Nothing we do has any effect on them.
Maybe...
Maybe what, Austin?
I was just thinking maybe Sloan and Stewart haven't died in vain. Maybe we can learn something from their deaths.
Like what?
Well, to keep away from these giant creatures, we must not antagonize them in any way with our weapons.
What do you plan to do?
We can't stay in the spaceship indefinitely, Ruth.
It's only a matter of time before one of those creatures discovers the Omega.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Bonnie.
Well, then, what's your idea, Austin?
To find or dig a cave someplace. We'll live off the land as long as we can, but we can't stay here. Take your seats. Strap down.
Oh, yes.
Just another reason for leaving this ship. If one of these quakes should tip us over, we've had it for sure.
Sears Radio Theater will return after this message from your local station.
And we are your local station for the time being. Erie House Radio. Felix Bean, good old Bob, thanks for joining us live in the chat. As they say in France.
Yep. I was talking about some of the radio shows that didn't transfer to television. There were some that did transfer fairly well. You had the Gunsmoke, although I thought radio was a better cast. That lasted for 20 years on television. In a rare turn of events, Have Gun Will Travel actually started on television and then came on to radio. So both were, I think, successful.
And what was the primary character's name?
Would that have been Paladin?
Yes.
Several soap operas transferred over from radio to television. So there were some successes there. And I'm sure there are some other. What's funny is, you know, you saw some one-offs. There was Alan Ladd did a one-off of the Box 13, which he hoped to bring back to television. It only ended up being one episode of, like, the GE Theater. Even Frank Lovejoy did one episode of the Night Beat. And Frank Lovejoy did a lot of early television, but that didn't really stick with him like Night Beat did on radio.
I don't know, but my neighbor, he's a really old guy. I mean, he makes us look young. he thought I named my dog after the TV show. Like, no, I had to explain the Lassie connection there.
Yeah, there you go.
Which, of course, he knew who Lassie was, but I'm like, no, I didn't name him after Richard. Oh.
And, of course, incarnations from radio television, essentially almost with the same cast, Dragnet, quite successful, as was a little quiz show called You Bet Your Life.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Yeah, that's right. Truth or Consequences started on radio. So there were a lot of shows that were successful. So I'm sorry, I kind of really ripped on the ones that didn't quite make it. But I giving them fair due right here, you know.
Yep. Better late than never. To get their due.
Absolutely. So you have any clues about this show yet, Dale? Or I think you got. I'm sure you got.
Not real sure where it's going, but. Yeah, I'm getting like some glimpses here.
Down to three. Down to three.
Yeah.
But
we are down to part three coming up here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Third and final chapter.
That was a short one. We got a lot of time left. You know what that means? Bonus material, kids. We always are prepared.
That or Dale and I never shut up. Let's go with the bonus material.
Yeah, we could sing for you. We know how that goes. In fact, here's a sample.
Black holes are up above you.
Night breezes seem to whisper, get out.
Bat singing in a church belfry.
Dream a little dream of me.
Say nighty night and choke me.
Hold your throat tight until you tell me you'll miss me.
Then you're blacking out, blue as can be.
Scream a little dream of me.
The light's fading, but I linger on, dear.
Still craving your blood.
I'm longing for you to linger till dawn, dear.
Face down in the mud.
Sweet screams till werewolves find you.
Nightmares that leave your sanity behind you.
In your daymares, whatever they be.
Scream a little dream of me.
All right, everyone. The finale is coming up. Let's put a little heart into it. Where are you going, Drac?
I have to go find the heart, Blee.
I think I left one in San Francisco.
That was Tony Bennett.
Maybe it was San Diego.
Your eyes are fading, but you linger on, dear.
Still craving some air.
I want you to linger till dawn, dear.
But you won't be there.
sweet screams till werewolves find you.
Nightmares that leave your sanity behind you.
In your daymares, whatever they be.
Dream of me.
Oh,
very nice, everyone. Vampira, your voice sounds a little strained.
I can't help it. This song really chokes me up.
You're welcome.
Maybe you should go out for a breath of air. Boy, boy.
And ruin a good song?
Nice here in CW and Gar the Ghoul, even when they're not here. They're here.
The seat, the eerie house four right there.
Yep. A smash hit record. It's, what do they call it? When you're a million, it goes gold? If you sell a
something
million
like
copies?
That.
Yeah.
I think that's not a smash hit. I think it's just a smash. Somebody hit it in the smash. Yeah.
A monster smash.
The monster smash, yes.
Yeah.
All right, we've tortured enough. Now onto the exciting conclusion.
Of, and then there were none.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau. Are you looking for a nursing home? Well, here are a few tips. Start by getting a list of the licensed facilities in your area from your local health department. Find out whether they are certified to receive Medicare and Medicaid payments. Also, talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors who've placed a family member in a home. You see, it's important to visit a nursing home to check the facilities and the services. For example, food handling, patient care, in-service staff training, housekeeping, and patient activities. Now, before you sign an admission agreement, you read it carefully, including the fine print, and ask a lot of questions about what's included in the price. A number of nursing homes charge extra for such items as wheelchairs, air mattresses, and personal laundry. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
If you have a child with a handicap, we have some good news, and some very good news. The good news is there's a new law that guarantees your child the right to the special education he needs.
Evaluation procedures conform to the corresponding requirements in the final regulation of Section 504.
But here's the very good news.
The term continuum, as with least restrictive environment, is commonly used by...
You don't have to hire a lawyer to explain how this rather complicated new law can help your child.
It is in accordance with specific performance criteria related to the program objective.
We can explain the law in clear, simple language, free.
Information under subclause E of clause 1 of subsection B, the commissioner there.
Just write Closer Look, box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. That's Closer Look, box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. A public service message on behalf of the United States Office of Education.
Commander Austin Baker of the spaceship Omega doesn't face an easy decision. He and the two women left on the spaceship Omega are doomed. So their only possible choice is to leave the craft and seek survival in a cave that they can either find or dig themselves.
I don't know what good our weapons may be against the hideous creatures we may find, but being armed will make us feel better. You know how to use this atomic rifle, Ruth?
Yes, Austin.
Bonnie?
We went through the same training with them as you did, Commander.
Yeah, a training that never prepared us for this, unfortunately. Laser pistols, grenades.
If we have to dig a cave, we should have entrenching tools.
Yeah, I thought of that too, Ruth. For you, for Bonnie, and for me.
What about food? I've got vials filled with meal pills. At least we won't starve, Bonnie.
Well, I guess we've got everything. Let's go.
That's what I like about you, Austin. He closes the door as if he was coming back.
Who knows? We may. All set?
Ready. Set as possible.
Nothing outside. Come on. I'll take the lead. Follow me.
The trees are even taller than they seemed.
Hold it. I see some of that sticky stuff Stuart got caught in.
Where?
Right ahead there. Any sign of that spider-like creature that got him?
I don't see it. Me neither.
All right, follow me closely. I'll try to lead us around the stuff. It seems to be web-like.
These trees are so thick.
Keep your eyes open for that giant spider.
Don't worry, I am.
We're nearly around the sticky stuff now.
Is that the railroad track ahead there?
Yes.
Is that the same one we saw in the pick vision?
The same. I don't know whether we'll find one, but keep looking for a cave.
We've been walking nearly an hour, and we're still in one piece. Well, that's something, Ruth.
Wait. Cross sound.
What are those things in the distance?
I don't know, Bonnie, but they're walking in a line.
They're following each other.
Well, there must be... I've lost count of them.
Well, they're huge. Oh, horrible things.
Yeah, they're like... Well, at home, they were tiny insects called ants. See the mandibles and antenna?
Oh, these are anything but tiny. Oh, they're so big.
Edge back soon and see us.
Oh, we were lucky we weren't attacked.
Attacked? Ruth, we'd have been carried back to their nest and fed to their queen.
What's this?
Wait, it seems to be rubber of some kind.
It goes up so high.
Why, it's even higher than the trees.
Is that material of some sort above the rubber?
I think that's a canvas like cloth.
At least it's not alive. And look there.
Bonnie, don't go wandering off by yourself.
There's round, shiny metal with something through it.
Do you know what we found?
What?
I think it's a shoe, like a sneaker.
An abandoned shoe?
I think so. Look at the length of it.
A sneaker-like shoe from some giant.
And that material from the round eyelets. I guess those are laces.
It's so big. We took photographs of a city on our way down.
So Bonnie told me, Ruth.
Well, you think this is a shoe from one of the inhabitants?
That's my guess.
It's a pretty good one. I'll buy it.
I think we better find a cave before we get stamped on.
Oh, I'm for that.
Follow me. Is there no end to this park?
What?
Oh, I didn't say anything, Ruth.
Well, at least we haven't been attacked by anything. Like poor Sloan and Stuart were.
No, but stay alert, Bonnie.
Oh, there it goes again.
Lie down. Bonnie, lie down before you're knocked off your feet.
The earth is shaking.
It's another quake.
There's the rain again.
We're in for a soaking.
It's a deluge.
Wait, be still a moment. I heard gurgling. There must be an underground river beneath. I can hear the water rushing through.
I can feel it. I'm soaked.
Well, we're on top of an underground river. I don't hear it anymore.
Can we get up? The earth has stopped shaking now.
That's strange. The sound has stopped. What did you say, Ruth?
I asked if we could get up now.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't understand it.
Oh, I'm soaked through and through.
I heard water flowing like an underground river. Didn't either of you hear it?
Oh, I was trying to keep from drowning.
Me too.
Well, so was I, but I still heard it. Well, we'll try to find higher ground. Follow me.
The trees are still dripping from that last downpour.
You suppose we're in a rainforest, Ruth?
I don't know.
Maybe if I scaled one of those trees to see where we are.
Well, how can you, Austin? There are no branches on these trees.
I know, Ruth, but... Oh.
Oh, no.
They've spotted us, all three of them.
Oh, what are those things?
I don't know, but they're gigantic.
Shiny and black. And look at those mandibles.
Like monstrous beetles.
Use the grenades first. Take that, you hideous creatures.
The grenades had no effect on them.
Use the...
Neither can I. Frank, where are you?
Backyard, water beetles all over the place.
Did you get them?
Yep. Now, what the heck is that? Oh, piece of track. There's that dumb kid's tennis shoe. Doggone it. What else did that boy leave outside? No. Here's another one of his toys. Well, his mother's got some answering to do, believe me. Laura!
All through, Frank?
Yeah, I'm through. Would you come here? I want to talk to you. You know, it's just ridiculous.
You all through fixing the sprinklers?
The sprinkler timer, Laura. The timer was screwed up. The sprinklers work fine.
Well, the timer, then. You fixed it?
I said I did. Now, look there.
Where?
On the table.
Frank, how many times must I tell you not to put your shoes? Why, it's Junior's sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's been looking all over for it.
You know where I found it?
Where?
In the backyard.
Oh, he'll be so pleased.
Well, I'm not.
You're not? Do you have any idea of how much these cost? What with inflation and
what all? What was it doing in the backyard?
I don't know.
All right, where's the kid now?
Out playing.
Well, there we go. That was an abrupt ending. Not sure
that
what happened there.
That wasn't supposed to end there.
No, it did. With 10 minutes and 16 seconds remaining, can you do any quick surgery? 10 minutes and 16 seconds, Dave, go. No, I don't know. Can you do any quick surgery? And if not, we can I can do a little song and dance while we get the...
Why don't you do a song and dance, see what I can find?
I think I know how this is going to end now, but I won't throw out any potential spoilers just yet. And we'll throw on a tune for you.
Yeah. When a lyric writer with 500 songs to his credit picks out one of his all-time greatest, chances are that it's a pretty powerful song, such as the case with Leo Robin, who was asked by Ralph Ranger to write a lyric for a tune of his. And the end result was a song that will always be considered an all-time great. So, with your kind permission... It's June in January, because I'm in love. It always is spring in my heart with you in my arms. The snow is just white blossoms that fall from above. And here is the reason, my dear, your magical charm. The night is cold, the trees are bare, but I can feel the scent of roses in the air. It's June in January, because I'm in love, but only because I'm in love with you.
trees are bare, but I can feel the scent of roses in the air. Because I'm in love, but only because I'm in love with you.
That's my partner, Dee.
Smooth as silk. That's the great one, Dean Martin. And looks like I got a scrap for a little more time here, or no?
Can you? I pulled my original file and it did cut off there, but I have this one here as it is now downloading.
Well, in that case, Sir Dave,
I think we can scrap. This one's about a little bit longer than that one was. So.
All right, hold on 1 second.
93 KHJ double play.
Oh, something from the guy who brought us the stripper, David Rhodes. The stripper, and then he does a song called 420.
420 became before the stripper.
Yeah, well, but 420 has a certain reference fee on people. But anyway,
The new one I pulled, it ended at the same place. So unfortunately, that's the end of our show. He wants to scold Junior, and they go off, and basically we find that they landed on planet Earth, and they were just little mini people, and that was the story.
Yep. That's what I kind of figured. Either that, or they were like bugs acting as humans.
No. They were corresponding and acting like humans by trying to destroy everything that they came in contact with. But
like a good human should. I mean, you got to do what you're expected.
Right. I agree. I agree.
You got to play the part at all times.
Yeah.
Destruction and mayhem. That's why we like certain people.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Those people.
Yep, them our people.
Yeah, they're destructive but fun.
And yet, there's still some time left.
That's okay. We can spin that wheel.
Let me do that. I'm too tired from doing this. Maybe you better spin the wheel this time, Dale.
All right, let me reach up to the top here and pull it around. Oh, my sacroiliac. Oh.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
And what's the opera about tonight, Chief?
I didn't hear you, Jay.
I heard you. I say, what's the opera tonight?
The opera? I'm going to do Pagliacci.
Pagliacci?
Well, Pagliacci, yes.
Well, down on 39th Street, I believe we call that Pagliacci, Chief.
Oh, well, that's it, but I can't pronounce it.
Well, it's an excellent opera anyway.
Yes.
A little Pagliacci music, please, maestro.
Pagliacci. Now, the first act of Pagliacci is in the circus, James.
All right.
Now, the rubber man of the circus is happy because he is the father of a bouncing baby boy. And when you look at the boy, you realize they must have caught him on the second bounce. Now, the boy grows up to be Pagliacci the clown, and he marries the woman lion tamer. What a puss that woman's got. Well, one night, one night as she is about to put her head in the lion's mouth, you know, she's a lion tamer.
Yeah.
And she yawns with this big mouth of hers. She yawns.
She does.
And the lion says, hey, just a minute. Who's going to do what to who here? Well, anyhow, in the second, the next act is the strongman. He does an amazing feat, James.
What does he do?
He lifts up a pair of nylons.
Well, I don't see what's so amazing about lifting a pair of nylons.
Well, there's 10 women hanging on to them. That's marvelous, James. Anyhow, let me explain the whole thing of the opera.
All right, if you will.
Silvio the villain. Silvio comes into the circus. He says to the usher, he says, I am so fat that I bought 2 seats. Then I know I will be comfortable. The usher says, I'd like to see you do it because these seats are on opposite sides of the aisle. You folks may as well stay in the studio. It's cold as the devil outside. Anyhow, the villain, you know, the villain flirts with a clown's wife. This is the interesting part of the opera, James. And she says, do you think I'm pretty? And he says, did you ever see Lana Turner? She says, oh, I'm not that pretty. Well, he says, you now have $8. Would you like to try for 6? Isn't that wonderful, Jane? I love this copy. Well, this remark makes them sweethearts. Now, the clown. You see, Pagliacci the clown says, don't run away with Silvio. He could never support you. And Silvio says, I can support a family of 5 for 3 months on 25 cents.
What's the clown say?
The clown says, how? And the villain says, well, I buy 25 cents worth of apples, feed them to a horse, then eat the horse. If I tell many jokes like that, my son will eventually have to support me. You know? Anyhow, the clown is heartbroken and he's sad. He stabs his wife.
Yes,
the
sir?
Wife recovers from being stabbed. The villain says, did you hear about your former husband? The clown is going to marry one of the Siamese twins. She says, how did he get them apart? And he says, well, he told them a joke and they laughed till they split.
I see.
Well, she says, I may not look so good, but I'm an old-fashioned girl who will keep house for you, an old-fashioned girl who will cook for you, an old-fashioned girl who will mend your clothes. And he says, after three old fashions, I don't care how you look. Aren't they wonderful, really? I love it. She says, when we marry, where will we live? And Silvio says, well, there are a lot of hotels in this town, and they're all called Nova Kansas. She says, those signs don't say Nova Kansas. They say no vacancies. That, of course, I just put in. Anyhow, they decide to marry. And the judge says, do you promise to take care of this woman in sickness and in health, in poverty and prosperity, in good times and bad, for better or for worse? And the bride yells, for heaven's sake, stop or you'll talk him out of it. And then the judge says, do you take this woman for your wife? And Silvio says, I do. And the judge says, well, I take her for your mother. That's what I like, you know. One good joke will save six rotten ones. Anyhow, at this instant, the clown appears, and the villain's flesh creeps. All of it creeps right out of the room. The clown says, darling, come back to me. I have an apartment with all the newest improvements in plumbing. There are three pipes in every room. There's one pipe for hot water, one pipe for cold water, and one pipe to bang on in case there isn't any hot or cold water. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this fascinates her, and she retains with her husband. And the last scene, James, is 20 years later. This is so beautiful.
Yeah, sir.
Their home has been blessed with many, many children. One day she says to her husband, darling, the income tax is due. He says, ye God, every year the same thing. Every year the same thing. And she says, well, darling, this is no time to scold me. We're going to have another baby. And he says, ye God, every year the same. What do you want, Jim?
Well, I want you to hear a message from John Reed King to the car owners of America.
Yeah.
What this boy says is sound.
That's the trouble, merely sound.
Car owners, you will enjoy more driving satisfaction per minute and more per mile from Fire Chief Power and Fire Chief Action.
Starting right in.
Because Fire Chief gasoline is better than ever before, yeah, as a result of Texaco's intensive wartime research.
Ladies and gentlemen, because of conditions over which I have no control, this announcer will continue.
Today's great fire chief has improved firepower.
That's he.
To give you quick starts, fast pickup, and all-round smooth traveling.
Yeah.
When you touch that starter on cold mornings, yeah, your engine leaps to life.
Oh, well, look, John, that's... Yeah. You know, speaking of cold mornings, my uncle's wife acts just like an automobile on cold mornings.
Really, Chief?
Yes. Whenever he wants her to go someplace on a cold morning, she freezes right up on him, and he has to choke her a couple of times to get her started. You know?
Well, that's so with automobile, Chief.
Oh, isn't it?
When you use Fire Chief gasoline, yeah, you get away in a hurry.
Yeah.
That's Fire Chief Action.
Yeah.
Fire Chief Starting Power.
I didn't get the name of the...
When you want quick acceleration and get away in traffic, you, yeah, get it.
Oh, we got action and acceleration going to a fire last night, John.
Really, Chief?
Oh, a clothing store on 14th Street burned down, you know. Store hadn't been doing business for years.
Oh, was it a big fire, Chief?
Oh, yeah. I could see the blaze coming 6 months ago. I could see that. Oh, it's terrific.
So drive in tomorrow for Fire Chief Power and Action.
Nothing stops this guy. Nothing.
Fill her up and start her up with a tank full of Texaco's great new, better than ever, Fire Chief gasoline.
Well, I'll stick to my horse.
Oh, you and your horse. Yeah. That horse limps. I saw him running on three legs.
Well, he always does that. He always keeps one foot in his mouth because he likes to feel his oats.
That, of course, the great Ed Wynn.
Yep, the perfect fool. Went from Broadway to from vaudeville to Broadway to the radio to television and to the movies.
Yep. Funny guy. Had a very unique voice, that squeaky voice. Pretty cool.
Yep, except when he didn't use it when he was in dramatic roles. And I think the last dramatic role he had, the last film role he had, I think, was when he was in Jerry Lewis's Cinderfella.
Oh, yeah.
He was what, like the God Fairy Godfather, that kind of thing. God Fairy Father or whatever you term it.
Yeah, Fairy Godfather, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Cinderfella.
Yep, so that's
a fun movie.
Oh, my. Still have time to go.
Still got time to go. While we wax nostalgic about Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
Yeah, I
liked him as a team. I think that Jerry Lewis was better as a team than he was as a single. He had a few really good movies.
Yeah.
Most of them, his ego got in the way, I think, in some of the, especially in the 60s. Dean Martin always kept he was good in the 50s, and he did rather well on his own as well.
Yeah, he was just cool. Once you join the Rat Pack, that's you're the king of cool at that point.
Yeah. And he definitely was. I don't know, it's just something about him. And he, you know, and he did a decent job acting too, from westerns to the airport or movie and the Matt Helm movies.
Yeah, the Matt Helm movies, yep.
Yeah.
He was a believable spy. Yeah, even a couple westerns, right?
Yep, he did a couple westerns with John Wayne, and you didn't know how he was going to do when they left, because by the time they broke up, Jerry Lewis was getting most of the attention. That was, I think, part of the problem. But partnership,
he wanted the attention so badly.
Well, and Dean said he knew he wanted to go on and direct and do things like that, and he didn't really want to be part of that. So yeah, just think of the great partnerships. How many of them actually really lasted? Even Abbott Costello kind of bunched up, broke up at the end there. And, Laurel and Hardy stayed together pretty much till the end of all of
them. Well, they kind of drifted apart too. You got to see that, most recent movie about them.
Yeah, they did, but that also had some exaggeration in it as well.
Yeah, I suppose.
Stan and Ollie was an excellent film, but
was it?
Yeah, a bit of it. It also showed that I think one of the best lines that came, I got caught out of that movie, is when they were just walking to the set, and Stan says, "I'm not ever going to marry again. I'm just going to find a woman who hates me and give her a house," you know.
Yeah, give her half my stuff.
Oh, my.
Yep.
But, yeah. But Abbott Costello, they had their rough spot. I'm trying to think. The Marx Brothers really kind of lost demand, as did the Ritz Brothers. Ritz Brothers stayed together. Basically, they turned into a nightclub act, which is what they were doing kind of before the movies started anyway.
Yeah.
The Marx Brothers just kind of broke up because there really wasn't a demand for them. It was after the break that Groucho got his gig with You Bet Your Life.
Yeah. And then, of course, Harpo wrote his book.
Yes.
Harpo Speaks.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We could sneak in one quick song, Dave.
Okay, one quick song.
Let's do this one.
Freddie Rich plays the lovely David Rose composition, Holiday for Spring. Thank you.
what's happening next week on Erie House Radio, Dale?
Tomorrow night. We're not on. We are on next week, Friday, 6:30. We're going deep into the Amazon. We got, The Key, Midnight, and A Man Called X. And we're not Amazon.com, that's for sure, because next Saturday, CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns. So yep. Some great Amazonian tales in the tropics there. That's what we got going for you next weekend, but tonight, the fun is not done. Now, sorry, in a little less than 3 minutes, the Twitches will be firing up with Gar the Ghoul. In Horrible Horror, starring Gar the Ghoul.
I always think you're waiting for somebody to slap you on the side of the head to get that part out. I don't know.
You just want to. That's all. Most people do. Don't feel bad. It's pretty much a standard. So we do want to thank y'all for joining us tonight. As we, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies, those were fun too. What else do we have? We covered a lot of diminutive movies. But we also forgot to mention the TV show Land of the Giants.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't shrink down, but like tonight's story, they were from another planet and just all that smaller. There was the one of the Twilight Zone about that too,
yes,
where the astronaut, Claude Aiken, was a big guy against the small people.
Yep. And wasn't there a space one where it went the opposite way too? Where they were real tiny and it's like, no. When they land somewhere?
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably. I'm sure there was somewhere along the lines, yeah.
Yep.
But where exactly, I could not tell you.
Lots of good diminutive stories.
Isn't that what the Land of the Giants was?
Land of the Giants was, they were up in subspace or something. They ended up on an alternate Earth. Like perhaps an Earth all the way on the opposite side of the sun or something like that, where it was just like almost parallel development, because obviously the cultures were quite similar, but just they were giants.
Yeah. Had to grow a lot bigger corn stalks, that's for sure.
Indeed. Just in time for the holidays. Well, I want to wish y'all a happy evening. Where are you, Vince? Right there.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Again?
There's no one left but me and him.
And just him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Okay, I won't.
Can you dig it?
Oh, blew that all to hell.
I can never tell by my timer, so. Can never tell by my timer.
Oh, Gar's fired up and ready to go over there.
All right. He's I think he has a set ready for Christmas, so
he's got
in the archives.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. He's got ornaments with bats on them. I'm a little jealous there.
those of you listening in the archive, hey, step on over to Twitch and look up Gar the Ghoul, because he does archive it. It archives for 1 week, then the new one comes on, that one archives for a week, and that kind of a thing. So if you have never seen, you've heard Gar here in action. If you've never seen him in action, head on over to Twitch. Let me see if I, let me check something out here. If I have a link to it here. So if I go twitch.tv/Gar_the_ghoul, and that'll take you right there.
Yep. And right now he's got the electric guy. What was that little electric guy, the mascot for the electric company?
I don't know what they called him.
Sparky or Zippy? Or
something like that, yeah. very recognizable, but just something I wasn't really aware of. He's got a whole big commercial going on here with that, huh?
Yeah, something.
Turn on that washing machine, percolator, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, if you're a utility, why do you have to advertise?
They called it edumacation, and they could write that off, you see.
Ah, Dave, you're wise, man. You see through their evil plans. Yep. So, quite a week. Always a pleasure doing Horrible. I mean, Giddy House Radio.
Radio, yes. It's a good chance to share some good stories, which might not, although, you know, a lot more people are starting to pick up and host these shows.
That's what we started.
So, yeah, yep, they all owe us for that, yeah. We'll take it in small, unmarked bills.
Now, there were a couple before we started. It's possible Lord Bloodrom may have been doing it, just not regularly.
No, well, if he was doing it, it wasn't regularly. Because when when we brought him on the show here, he had not been doing it for that long, I didn't think.
I don't know why. I recall seeing it like quite some time ago. But
okay.
Hopefully we inspired him because I think he's doing it a little more often now. The radio.
Yep. Anybody share these great shows, and we certainly have a wide variety that we share. And
I think. I could be mistaken, but I think, Dave, that you're probably of the horror host related folk that are doing it. I think your knowledge is pretty broad and pretty wide, which is great. No, it's just great because you theme up everything and put it together real good.
Well, I'm always looking for shows that I'm not even familiar with. Like recently coming across the Seventh Dimension programs, which I'm sure was broadcast on NPR. I'll be looking up more information on them. But this was a really good story that we got coming up in early January. Looking forward to sharing that.
I am too, because you know I love a good sci-fi tale. I love me horror. But and of course we stray here and we do the comedies and we do the. An occasional Western and, some of the dramas, but I love me horror, but I do love me some sci-fi. And radio, I think, was a good medium for sci-fi during that period because the movies, special effects-wise, really kept it as kind of lowbrow entertainment for the masses. You know, it wasn't widely popular like it is now. But you could use your imagination with radio, and it's very believable in your mind, of course. So I think it was a good medium in the 50s.
Well, it's interesting as we find these radio shows, and it just it does add a different dimension. And there's in some ways you could do so much with the radio, and don't have all those special effects and all that.
And you don't have to have that many sets either. You need good talented voices, a good Foley man, you know, and some nice music, and you're good to go.
Yep. So yeah, looking forward to sharing that and perusing some of the other programs. A lot of their programs are an hour long. So I'll be looking at those, through those as well.
Yep. And my studies on silent movies is growing and growing. I keep finding out new and cool stuff that was lost for a long time, and some of those silent films are really creepy.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
And they weren't intended to be. In some cases,
No, in some cases they weren't.
They were just intended to be kids' stuff, and it's like, oh. It's like some of those early Halloween costumes at the turn of the last century were just hideous for kids.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. One of the things is this is a nonprofit organization. It wasn't intended to be that way. It's just the way it turned out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the way some of those things that were creepy and scary and all kinds of things like that when they weren't necessarily intended to be, or sometimes funny when they weren't intended to be funny.
Yep.
And you know, what makes upsets me is sometimes when people compare things from back then to today's standards. So, well, that's so chintzy. Says, you don't understand. They didn't have special effects. There were no sound effects. There wasn't hardly any special effects except what they created. You know, you can't compare what happened then. And that's why I think for those that made the transition properly, especially in the horror field, from the silence to the soundies, those are people who they learned how to work with nothing in order to make it.
Yeah. I think in terms of science fiction and film, the turning point for me is 1968, because two major films offered huge advancements in special effects. I mean, you did have Ray Harryhausen prior to that doing his stop motion, and that was great, but somehow he just never got into the mainstream. Where the mainstream produced two great hits. Number one for masks was Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And the science fiction around it when you consider time travel and considering things like that. Also in that year was the release of 2001, A Space Odyssey, in which Douglas Trumbull made space travel look so good compared to anything we've experienced prior to that. Using those models and the scenes in space just looked very realistic.
Yeah.
In fact, more so than today for action reasons, you know, they have people zipping by with screaming sound effects where Douglas Trumbull and, of course, director Stanley Kubrick had them flying slowly in silence, which, you know, from a perspective, it would appear to be, even though they're moving maybe thousands and thousands of miles an hour,
yeah,
it don't look like it in deep space.
Yeah,
you know?
It does not. Yeah,
You're covering a whole lot of territory, and those two films really, I think, started bringing horror and sci-fi to the forefront more so, and made it more acceptable to the masses. Everybody went to see Planet of the Apes, not just the sci-fi geeks. But everybody went to see that. Everybody went to see 2001, A Space Odyssey, because it was just so talked about. It was odd. A lot of people didn't get it, the film. But yet they went to go see it.
I agree. It was and the thing is, that's also a time when nobody would say what happened when the I know that some people went to saw Planet of the Apes in the theater, and they said, you know, when it came to the end, the whole audience gasped, and nobody warned people what was going to happen at the end. You know, that was
Have spoilers. It was sacred to not be a spoiler. It was a sacred duty because that ending was so unexpected.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is one cinema moment I'll never forget. I don't believe I saw that in the theater until it came around again, maybe in the early 70s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember seeing it at the Maple Town, which was a small theater, and they usually got stuff the second go around.
Okay.
The budget viewing, you know? You didn't get whacked with the superplex theaters or whatever, and often the really good films didn't make the drive-ins for a while either.
Did we have superplex theaters when we were growing up?
No.
I didn't think so. The most you had more than one theater was the ones in the mall had two or three screens.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of more what I was referring to, because you'd have That's where your new stuff came out, in those kind of theaters. I remember when Southgate, their cinema, had one movie. Then they split up into two. Then they tried three, and they were real small. I was like,
ah. Yeah.
I think they fell by the wayside eventually. Funny how drive-ins are kind of making a comeback. They were very helpful during the pandemic. This is what kind of gave them a little boost of late. Which is really is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You gotta if you got to avoid everybody, go to the drive-in. Keep your windows up.
Well, and now they just charge – charge you what they did on special, but now they charge you by the carload for about $19. If you bring your own food, they charge you an extra $5 for that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you're going to blow that much anyway on their cruddy food. So, hey, get your good food. Unless they have good food, then, hey.
Yeah.
At least you have the option.
It's always special to have that there, though, you know?
Yeah. It is. I don't ever want to see the drive-in go away. I may never be able to stay up late enough to go to one ever again, but I just...
I'm telling you.
It's getting harder and harder, brother. I'd never make it to the end of Gar Show, never.
I do sometimes, but then I'm doing station work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing that too, so...
I can't shake this getting up at 2 or 3 in the morning. It drives me nuts.
You can't get rid of that? Oh,
no,
man.
No. I keep trying to sleep in later. I'll be able to. I think I'll be a lot more chill when I do retire, Dave. It'll be then I could be a fun night creature again.
Chill good of the night.
Yes. What music they make? All right. Well, we better drag out the schnozzola.
Well, let's do that. Let's turn off the house lights. Turn on the 3 spotlights. So into the middle one can step the one, the only, Mr. James Durante.
Good night.
I'm already.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Horrible, what we say, and
inconvenient.
Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Good night, you.
In your nose.
You say it.
Do you mind turning off the radio?
I got it.